semen is steady. So they are problematic also. They are problematic for everything, aeroplanes, robots, our lives, they get affected. So we can't blame you. But welcome, CEO, for arriving. We want you to give you time to rest. And we want you to go straight to the business of the day and tell us about your strategy and your plans. So I think most of you know the members that are here. Do we have to introduce them? I don't think we really do. Maybe I can just mention the name. It's Dr. Lothwell, it's Ms. Lee Dimasego, it's Honorable Castle Makale. So let's just give over to you. If there are any introductions, you can do them. But thank you, sir. Don't panic. We are quite comfortable.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members. I think we'll do the introductions perhaps as we speak. And indeed, you have met all faces with the exception of Mr. Lawrence Kruder, who is joining us for the first time. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and once again, we do apologize. In the future, we'll learn to just set off even an hour earlier. So we'll start off with a video and then go into the presentation. A brief video.
We can solve problems from predicting our output of climate change to improving the design of airplanes.
We build mathematical scale physical models of force and hours. This allows us to study how coastal structures withstand the natural elements with remarkable accuracy.
By inserting the features that are found in the island, I want to help protect the identity of our community. I want to make sure that no child goes to school hungry. By combining the power of food and pharmaceuticals, we want to make malnutrition a thing of the past.
Thank you. You may well have had the good fortune to see the TV on, rather the commercial on television. It has aired a few times. But we do indeed feel that it captures very well indeed the spirit of what we're about, the people behind what we do, perhaps more poignantly than any number of words by the CEO on objectives and so on. But be that as it may, what we'd like to do is also get your feedback even on campaigns such as this, because you'll recall that the point has been made and made legitimately that we could be more visible, that we don't perhaps sufficiently tell South Africa of about the achievements or the things that we do as an organization. And this is but one of the mechanisms through which we are now attempting to do so. And if you are, the reaction is positive, then we can look forward to several more. Some of them indeed featuring the faces, the highly photogenic faces around the table here. Let us proceed anyway. What I'll do is, in similar style, we'll talk about some of the things we do and intend to do. We'll keep it relatively brief. I will invite colleagues to comment as and when appropriate, and then perhaps the greater discussion might occur in interactive question mode, where we might respond to either suggestions or questions that you may put to us. So it will be brief, as I say, let's give a bit of background and then our objectives and then the KPIs for the coming year. But not just for the period, for the 3-year MTF period, but in more detail for the 15-16 year. The mandate, you are now familiar with that very broad mandate that says we ought to do research to make South Africa a better place to stimulate industry and do it in partnership with various other players in the private sector and so on, and public sector, and contribute to improvement of the quality of life of the people of South Africa through science and technology, without specifying precisely what it is ought to do. So let's then look at, well, we look at some strategic objectives in those well, scientific and technological, financial sustainability, and human capital. All these three should be seen as complementary. Indeed, they are. Without the sustainability and good governance, it goes without saying we can't do the other things. Without people, we can't do anything. And we need the people, we need good governance, then we're able to execute on one and think about the science and technology research that is in keeping with our mandate. You know, and then there's a context in our country that must of necessity inform the sort of things that we do. Notably, the critical challenges facing South Africa in the form of poverty, inequality, unemployment, which no doubt, as perhaps social scientists would be able to speak with greater authority, you know, affect society in a variety of ways, the stability and so on, the social fabric of the country, and the importance, therefore, of our making a contribution through science and technology to alleviating that cannot be emphasized enough. And indeed, we quote that extract from the RDP program of 94, because it was important then, it remains, if anything, even more important now. So against that background, let's have a conversation about what it is that we do. And we collaborate with a variety of other public research institutes. We're not placing ourselves in the middle because we think that we have a special role, but it's simply a perspective from our point of view that we collaborate with a whole host of other sister organizations, institutions, what is referred to as the science system. And all of the others have got pretty much a well-defined mandate in geosciences, Council for Geosciences in Geosciences, and MRC in Health and Medicine, and so on, HSRC in Human Sciences. And some of them are funding agencies such as the NRF and TIA, Technology Funding Agency. But I will not speak more about that because some of them will have addressed, interacted with you a little earlier today, I understand. And of course, also partnerships in the broader national system of innovation, in other words, state-owned enterprises, notably, and we'll talk a bit about that, the SOEs like Transnet, and industry in general, and universities are absolutely critical, tertiary education institutions, and of course, government departments. Our strategic objectives are as written out over here. In future, we'll probably have logos that are a bit more readable, and but be that as it may, you know, built environment, industry, energy, health, natural environment, defense and security. This is not to say that we're absolutely restricted to those areas of activity. It simply happens to be a particular configuration of things that we're involved in right now that we speak to in a very direct way. And underpinned, of course, and what differentiates us is that we have a variety of core technologies in material science, sensor technologies, photonics, robotics, computational science, modeling, and so on, which would set us apart from some other players who might indeed be working in the same area. One might approach energy, for example, from the perspective of greater awareness around energy saving rather than technologies to do with the generation, for example, of energy from renewables, by way of example. Let's continue, and let's give perhaps a couple of examples in the health system, supporting the health system. We'll also say something about agro-processing in a moment. And it is well worth mentioning in passing that you in a business day, I think, of 2 days ago, of Monday, had a lead article that quoted Minister Mzwali making reference to work that the Department of Health is doing with CSIR with regard to information systems, providing information systems as part of the drive of implementing national health, the NHI. The context there is that we don't do what we do in an area like that in isolation. Of necessity, the lead player is the Department of Health, and there'd be little point in our saying we're doing all of these things, but I only talk to them later. So we have ongoing conversations, and my colleague looks poised to make some comment at this point, and she indeed is the authority best placed to do so with regard to this matter. So let me hand over to her.
Thank you, Dr. Spisi. Just looking at the slide that is up, we provide support to the Department of Health, and indeed we have a memorandum of understanding with them that we have signed pledging this support. Operationally, we are supporting them in support to the delivery of healthcare services and then in attacking the burden of disease with the aim to reduce that. And using ICT systems, architecturing and so on, we support the department in the architecture of the health population register that will carry all the individuals who are supposed to get services from the National System of Health. We've also supported the department by looking at and analyzing objectively the national health information systems that the various provinces have acquired, and we've created standards that have been gazetted to which these systems will have to conform in the future. We also then support primary healthcare by developing interoperable systems to collect data at the primary health level and then have that consolidated at district level and so on. We, of course, in the life sciences research, coupling that with our engineering capabilities, can create ICT-enabled devices that allow primary healthcare workers who interact with communities to collect information and send it to information to the service providers at the district level as well, so that the primary caregivers get support. So that's part of the work that we do with the Department of Health. And we do get involved internationally in malaria research. It's a very important, continues to be a very important disease globally. And in this regard, we have a very unique technology platform of assays that looks to work with universities and medicines for malaria to try and put in technologies that then disrupt the malaria cycle. This is but one example of the science work that we do. Shall I leave it there to you? Is everything all right? Right. So I think you have the slides that are correct, but I'm not directly. Okay.
We have a different set of slides. That is regrettable. May we?
Would you help?
Oh, you've just been given it. Okay.
No, it's not a problem at all. I'll be very brief now. The last part of our examples in health focuses on how we use technologies in agro-processing to enhance nutrition and well-being of communities, particularly looking at children in the rural and remote areas. We contribute to greater food security and we try to combat malnutrition by using our indigenous and naturalized plants to create foods and food products that are nutritionally highly valuable. So we do have an example in the picture there of NutriVeg, which is a juice that is protein enhanced by extracting good quality proteins from some of the indigenous vegetables that are cultivated in South Africa. We continue to do work in this regard. And this particular product we just launched with the DTI in Idutwa in the Eastern Cape. It is a product that, if you look at the next picture, the kids in the schools are now using to complement the nutrition that they get at home. So what we do in this regard is to continue to study and understand how we as Africans in our diversity respond to food in a science called nutrigenomics, so that we can know how to handle diseases that are associated with food and nutrition. And I think I will leave that there for the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. I shall, of course, when I request that Rachel speak to just the point, but you are familiar with Dr. Fukwamba, she's been here before. There are a number of additional observations one can make with every slide that we are presenting. For example, the slide that made reference to open standards in health speaks to a more fundamental principle regarding open standards and simply avoiding lock-in to particular proprietary offerings in the arena of technology. Whether we're talking about health or we're talking about, for example, support for the police services and so on. And then that's something that is core to a fundamental principle that we employ whenever we engage. And indeed, at some point, if there's an opportunity, I'll invite Lawrence Blue that will perhaps talk a bit more about that, because it's an area in which he has particular expertise. And I cannot help also mentioning that when you show an example of kids, they're naturally drinking the drink that Rachel made reference to. From our point of view, these are pilots, but we would like to then see a scale-up so that this is made available at schools across the country. And it's imperative then that there be a very strong relationship with basic education, and that we should not necessarily have to always work with particular provinces with mixed results depending on the extent which a particular province chooses to adopt or otherwise. So let's then turn to examples in other areas in industry now. The first one being biotechnology. And in this instance, what we're seeking to do is to support small and medium enterprises to give them access to world-class biomanufacturing facilities. And together with piloting a variety of manufacturing processes, the stance that we're adopting with regard to strengthening the extent which we speak to the element of our mandate that has to do with supporting industry. Once again, I invite any member of the executive court to comment further on that, if you want to say something.
Mulefu Mutuku, Group Executive Responsible for Research and Development. Let me just comment on really the biomanufacturing facility itself, the need for this facility. Just mentioning the name, it will not illustrate really the importance of this. This is really geared towards supporting SMEs, and really what it is all about is we do a lot of research at the lab scale. And here we're dealing about volumes and quantities that we typically deal with at the lab scale is millimeters, maybe 1 millimeter. To develop that process further to industrial scale, you need a sequence of steps. You might need to move from 1 millimeter to 5 millimeter to half a liter to 20 liters to 1,000 liters to 5,000 liters. You need all those steps. And typically SMEs will not have such facilities. And you cannot move from one entry point, maybe 20 liters, and go to another facility to try to access 200 liters. So This facility is enabling all those steps in one to provide SMMEs with that access and to assist them to further develop their processes. They are very expensive by nature and very also expensive to maintain. Equally, you need a lot of expertise, and this is what the center provides for SMEs, to develop their processes better and to assist them also develop new products and processes. Laser-based engineering, typically many people are aware of traditional welding, where you use electrodes to join things. Also, where we use gas, typically is acetylene and argon gas, to heat things, to treat the surfaces. There are limitations with those techniques. Here at the CSR, we have a facility that houses the best expertise in terms of lasers, which are really high-intensive lights, which have better control to treat a lot of products. In this case, we have developed specific processes to assist the lights of Eskom, Kuber. In this case, we are assisting them to repair their turbines, either the casings, but the most important thing in a turbine are the blades that allow the motor to rotate. Those blades are made of very difficult materials to really process, and we need high-end expertise and processes like the laser to do that. Typically, we are able to repair some of these parts without physically removing the parts. Most of these parts have been sent abroad to Germany to be repaired, and with the new processes that we have developed at the CSR, we're able to save time, to save costs for Kubiak and Eskom to assist them with their major repairs. Maybe let me stop there.
Thank you. And let's turn to two examples in the defense and security arena. Once again, this is one you may well have seen as part of our campaign, awareness campaign. It's been, in fact, it was the first one, I think, that was shown on television. And then given that Lawrence Luther is a new member of the executive team, who has, in fact, very successfully steered both our ICT unit in Morocco as well as more recently the unit for safety and security, it seems appropriate that I ask him to speak through the next two slides.
Thanks, Dr. Sabiti. I'm Lawrence Luther. I'm the Group Executive Operations, and as Dr. Sabiti alluded to, before taking up this post, I was for about a year the Executive Director of CSR's Defense, Peace, Safety and Security Unit. I'm not sure if this deployment was due to me avoiding conscription as a youngster, but in any case, CSR has had a long partnership with the defense and safety and security community in South Africa, role players in South Africa, and this is an example where we've developed a unique piece of technology that allows our Navy to launch small boats from the frigates. As you can imagine, the frigates are not the most nimble craft. So if you're hunting terrorists or other people, illegal poachers or so on, you need a smaller boat, and we have developed a technology that allows the Navy to deploy these boats while they are moving. What I should maybe also say is, I think is interesting from the work we do with the Department of Defense, we talk about a model called the DERI, Defense Evaluation and Research Institute, where we really form a partnership with the Department of Defense and help them, we don't always build things ourselves, but we also make them help them make better acquisition decisions. And I think we are replicating that kind of model now with other departments, with the South African Police Services, but also with Department of Health, where Minister Motsoaledi said when you are reliant on the vendor's advice, any potion looks like a miracle cure, but we have the technology expertise to advise government to make better decisions on those kind of things. Dr. Sabiti asked me to also talk about the next slide. So you may be aware that South Africa has developed a national cybersecurity policy framework, and we are working with a number of departments, with the Departments of Science and Technology, in developing a roadmap for South Africa's investments in information security technology, and we are also helping the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services setting up a cybersecurity hub that strengthens South Africa's ability to protect the country against cybersecurity threats. And as we know, these are becoming more and more prevalent, whether from a full-scale defense perspective, you often see conventional war now being accompanied by cyber war, or whether just attacks against our banking and other commercial institutions. We need the tools and the skills to be able to combat that, and we're playing a role in building those skills.
On to the built environment. Now, what we are seeing there, we've spoken about several times, but we are involved, the picture, that is, in rapid testing of pavement of roads, simulating traffic that might, the road might be subjected to over many years, within a very short space of time, and therefore being able to get a sense of how long we actually expect the road to last and so on. And we, this is an area of work that continues to be a huge success for CSIR and well in South Africa, in the sense of it being in demand in various parts of the world, not just within the country, including countries that you might not immediately have thought as countries might have thought of, such as California in the US and so on. A number of other areas in the transport arena, in fact, will come to, in a moment, a partnership with Transnet on rail infrastructure, as well as building a new locomotive indeed, that very one. This is, I think, a flexible example of a virtuous partnership between CSIR and state-owned enterprises, a state-owned enterprise, in this particular case, Transnet, that has taken a view that they want to take the R&D seriously, but what they're going to do is to partner with us in order ultimately to develop a locally manufactured locomotive. And there's a number of elements involved in so doing. One that will be able to withstand itself the harsh and diverse African operational and environmental conditions without having to rely all the time on international players, General Electric and so on. Can we have an element of autonomy and develop our own locomotive? And we have the technology, we have the ability to do so. And in some areas, we're having to develop. And then it's been a wonderful, environment for also bringing on board young engineers, giving them a vision for the kinds of things that they can do. And coming out of university and joining this unit and being really very, very impressive and enthusiastic about the work that they're doing, and that's a lab that is in fact on our premises at CSIR that was recently visited a few weeks ago by the president. We would like to see partnerships of a similar scale with, for example, Eskom and Denel and so on. And indeed, we are working on it. Maybe do you want to add to that? Okay, super. Thank you. All right. And then let's turn to the natural environment. The picture on the left is probably not necessarily immediately directly informative, but it gives the idea that we can look to remediation of mining sites by identifying crops that can be successfully grown on mining zones. And of course, we'll experiment. Some will work and others will not work so well. And we've shown that crops like peanuts and certain eucalyptus clones can be successfully grown on mining zones. And once again, perhaps you might want to comment on this from the perspective of bioscience.
Very brief comment that I will make to say that usually when mining operations are finished, huge tracts of land are rendered unusable after the operation is done. And what we try to do then is to say, how can we make this land useful so that we can treat it in a way that allows us to give it back to communities so that they can use it beneficially. So we try to grow all sorts of plants, provided that there aren't any heavy minerals that are associated with that. We can grow plants that can actually rehabilitate the land again. So you don't necessarily expect to harvest immediately, but by continuously putting plants that grow, you can turn that land into useful land that will in a few years then be able to be diverted back into economic productivity in agriculture, but at the very least be restored and not degraded anymore.
Let's turn to another example, an example now in climate change. In fact, perhaps the heading might be even broader, because while you are talking about studying the climate, collecting data in order to better understand changes in the climate, we can also use the data, use the same equipment, if you like, to collect data for decision-making in other contexts, such as, for example, investigating the surveying fish stock levels along the South African coastline, which then, of course, informs you regarding planning of the amount of the number of licenses might allow for fishing, for example. But glider example, well, the technology really ultimately is about collecting data at sea and typically then transmitting that data, say, by SMS to a satellite and then down to some site where people may be doing work. And these gliders, not necessarily that model. I think that model floats above water and then has got a plumb line that may collect data near the surface. But we also have a different kind of glider that actually is able to dive, take a deep dive into the ocean and collect data and come up and then transmit it for example, as I said, to a satellite. And in that way, you are able to not only collect data at the surface, but fairly deep. And it's important to understand that because the link between temperature changes and the oceans and carbon absorbed by the ocean and understanding not only what happens at a few points on the surface, but going deeper into the seas is imperative for a better understanding of what exactly we're dealing with when we study climate changes and then climate change in general. And then in so doing, then we've also identified the other uses that we might put such data collection efforts to, as we have indicated, starting fish stock levels. Again, there's been some good coverage, I think, on Carte Blanche, amongst others, on the work that we're doing in this area. And it's not just a matter of collecting the data. We also are developing models, sophisticated models, for actually better understanding, particularly seasonal variations. People don't really have such a good grasp of modeling seasonal variations, which can be very important. Indeed, is very important, because you might have a better grasp, for example, of how the likelihood of a drought might be, and can therefore affect agricultural planning and policy and so on. So it isn't just about long-term climate change. Okay, let's continue. Hydrogen, we've no doubt all had terms such as the hydrogen economy, and it's a term that's been around for a while. But in a sense, the idea that you might use hydrogen to deliver energy for cars and portable devices and so on, and that in so doing, the waste material is just harmless water. So we're dealing with a very different approach to fossil fuels. But there are all sorts of challenges still associated with that, which have to do in particular with the storage of hydrogen and the fact that it has to be contained at high pressure and vessels that therefore are not going to explode on you in a car or in storage tanks or in other fuel. So all of these are areas of research that in fact we together with others are very active in. But it's going to be, there's no question that it's going to be a major technology in the near future. If you wanted to even add to that, feel free, please, by all means.
On the energy part, especially renewable energies, as Dr. Sibisi indicated, there are two major challenges. With the renewables, you, for instance, instance of photovoltaics, you generate the electricity during the day, but you might require it during the night. So storage of electricity of energy is a very important aspect for us to be able to really penetrate the renewable landscape. So in the key to storage are certain materials. In this case, we're talking about lithium. Unfortunately, we don't have lithium in the country, but associated with that, there are other minerals. For instance, manganese, which South Africa possesses 80% of the high-quality manganese here in the Northern Cape. So we'll be using a combination of lithium and manganese to develop materials for storage. Equally, we'll be exploiting with fuel cells. The key component is the catalyst that goes into the fuel cell, and there the key minerals are platinum and palladium, and South Africa having more than 86% of world reserves of PGMs. So the strategy here is a combination of value addition, generally, like lithium, producing lithium electrode materials here in South Africa, but also beneficiating our local mineral resources, as well as developing new industries. So the plan here is to develop a processing pilot plants to be able to produce those materials locally. And here we're working with the Department of Mineral Resources, other stakeholders, the Council for Geoscience, universities, the likes of Mintec, to do that.
Note that this slide makes reference to renewed investment into research on new materials for lithium-ion batteries. The context here is that we did some cutting-edge work internationally in this area, and we were able to place some international patents on the work that we've done, and indeed, therefore, be able to seek commercial returns from those activities. And the person well placed to talk to that is Chris Daly. Chris, on your team.
Thanks, Professor BC. Close on 20 years ago, Professor Mike Thackeray filed some patents with regards to some IP we developed regarding the cathode in lithium-ion batteries. Over the years, we received a number of royalty payments and license fees on this technology. And with the advent of electric vehicles, a number of big players are putting batteries into those electric vehicles, which are infringing on our IP. Now, to fight a lawsuit in this space typically costs $100 million when you take these companies on. We're keeping a keen eye on the uptake of electric vehicles because with the oil price where it is now, as low as it is, what they projected initially a few years ago in terms of the number of electric vehicles in the market hasn't realized. And we don't feel it would be, we'd get a return on what we need to invest to take on these companies that we feel are infringing. We have a partner in Canada called Hydro-Québec, who we pooled IP with, and together with them, we're looking at evaluating the batteries that are going into vehicles to determine are they using our IP or not. The challenge is these patents, the one patent that we have remaining expires in a year's time. But in the US, you can go back 6 years in terms of claiming for license fees and royalties where they have used your IP. Interesting also in this space, there's a significant investment into batteries. As Malefi said, they are the challenge to the uptake in renewables. You need to store the power. Elon Musk recently announced that he was going to be investing in a $1 billion plant in Arizona, and everyone thought it was for his Tesla vehicles. In fact, it's for batteries for home use in the U.S. So I think over the next few years, we're going to see the conventional model where we have a large utility supplying power being turned on its head. I think there's going to be a lot of different models coming out in terms of self-generation, mini power producers, the roof of your house, for example. And in that regard, we have also initiated a CSR Integrated Energy Research Center, where we want to be the model in the country to have an autonomous campus and use the 50 buildings we have on site and have a combination of wind, solar, and biogas to run our entire campus and use that as a model for the country going forward. One of the exciting initiatives we have.
Thank you, Chris. Chris mentions Elon Musk, who, of course, we all know has a strong relationship with South Africa. But he reminds me of something else which I cannot help mentioning, that aside from his interest in electric vehicles, the Tesla is doing
in batteries and so on. He also announced not so long ago that he disapproved strongly about artificial intelligence was a very dangerous thing at about the time that Steve Hawking expressed similar sentiments. And then, of course, promptly invested in an artificial intelligence company. So the idea that sometimes you market yourself very effectively by tracking what you're involved in so that it generates interest, generates control, it's a strategy we should consider, be that as it may. Let's move on now to perhaps talking about methods of financial sustainability and then good government. Perhaps Chris might want to take that one too, and then we'll turn to some actual numbers, figures, statistics.
Thank you, Dr. BC. Just in terms of financial sustainability, if you look at our budget that we put in the shareholders' compact, the CSR remains a going concern. We're budgeting for a growth on our top line of 9.8% and generating a healthy, modest margin. I think importantly to look at is the balance sheet. The balance sheet remains liquid and solvent. And we are investing heavily in scientific equipment and infrastructure. What we will continue to guard jealously is our unqualified audit. The CSR in its 70-year history has never had a qualified audit, and that's a track record we look to maintain. We have in place a risk management plan, a fraud prevention plan. We comply with international quality standards in our various laboratories. We are looking to maintain our triple BEE level 2 status, and we had a very good safety track record, which we also look to maintain and improve on going forward.
And let's talk a bit now, as I say, have some figures. We're talking about a variety of examples of things that we do, and all of them are founded upon human capital. That's exactly why we show the leader that we showed at the beginning. Want to increase the size of our S&T base, science, engineering, and technology base, and continue to transform it in terms of demographics of age and gender and race and so on. And then so let's move on. So that picture there gives a sense of what our targets are with regard to general article applications and so on, contract R&D income and the like. It's difficult really to speak to that and then say that's what it is. And we think it's reasonably ambitious, particularly those 2019-2020 targets. Building and transforming human capital, in a sense, those two slides should have been together. The next one I invite you to have a look at, for example, the number of staff with doctorates. We are taking the view that if we are going to continue to working in the kinds of areas that you spoke about, research areas, we need to be pushing very hard the proportion of doctorates, number of people with PhDs we have in the organization. And indeed, it is a core to the strategy of the Department of Science and Technology. We report, of course, to the Minister of Science and Technology that we have been driving this, that the country ought to be driving this very strongly. And so when we put a stretch number there for 2019-2020, like 400, we think it's reachable, and we think we ought to have that sort of goal for the kind of organization that we are. And of course, the question, of course, the issue always is you ought to be careful not to make promises to youngsters and encourage them to do PhDs and then not be able to offer them jobs at the end because industry is not able to absorb them, etc. And these are the kinds of conversations that we should be having, I think, as a country about, for example, greater absorption of people with research backgrounds, PhDs at, in industry, beyond the likes of the obvious players like Sasol and so on. Let's move on. We made reference to good governance and sustainability, and it is imperative that we renew we continue investing in property, plant, and equipment. Otherwise, we will get left behind. This is the nature of the research game. You don't have the appropriate kit. You are severely hampered, and we will continue to place an accent on doing so. Growing the top total income line and positive net profit and so on, and maintaining a BBB rating at level 2 and so on. And I think some trends actually are useful at this stage. And those are the trends for SET stuff. And as you can see, was trending upwards. Generally, I think that's the story, that's really the message we're wanting to give. Trending upwards PhDs, and yes, we've set that number for 1920, and it's an ambitious number, but we think it's achievable, or at least we ought to. Sure, we'll try to achieve it. And trying to peer review articles. I won't dwell on any of those specifically, other than to say the upward trend are all, we believe, plausible, given if you look at our past, that in fact we have made. It typically delivers on the expectations and the trends that were put on the table. As you can see, there hasn't been a disastrous year where things have gone horribly bad. And we have seen no reason why that should not continue to be the case. And so those are the trends for total income. And for the component of that, that is contract R&D income, that should be a qualifier there. Okay, I think this. Thank you very much. Let's stop there, and then invite questions and indeed comments and suggestions, and respond as best we can. Chair, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. When I say Dr. Smith, I refer to all of you. So don't take that I'm going to mention you by name, Chris. And, if I said Dr. Smith, I've mentioned all of you. You know, let me just make comments before the members ask comment or ask your questions. I'll make a few comments. The best way to stress somebody's attitude and way of doing things is to get them unawares. You get them into the picture, you make them do their thing without twittering. Then you know how honest they are, how objective they are, the integrity. I think we've taken you by surprise because you came late and we just said go on and do that. And now what you are getting is the honest picture of what's going on. And it gives us, it gives me an impression, you know, you always ask yourself, what's the difference between, there are two brilliant people in the world, the one who's a crook, and the one who's not a crook, who's working for the community. You ask yourself, what's the difference, because both of them are brilliant. You know, if I can design something that when I try and lock my car with a remote control, I can design something to stop it locking without you knowing. And when you get into the mode, you come out, your car is empty. It means I'm brilliant. I'm a lateral thinker. But the difference between them and you is that lateral thinker thinks against the community. Your innovations are helping the communities. I'm sure you understand what I'm trying to say. So you are lateral thinkers, and you need to continue being lateral thinkers. And the good thing about it is that as we were growing up, we used to know that things are coming from Germany, China. Now we are seeing these things coming from South Africa. And it's very good. That's why we've got to promote it. And the way you present, you are not presenting like the usual way that we know. To show that you're lateral thinkers, but you're presenting to us something that's very interesting, and you're doing it in your own way, which is very good, and it's making us to understand what is going on. I'm trying to encourage you, and you are doing something for South Africa, for South Africans. If somebody wants to take it, they can take it, but it's actually for South Africa. And And I always say that there's nobody who can tell me what's happening in my local small village in Transkei. If I want to create an innovation, it's going to be based on the difficulties and the challenges that I'm confronting. And if somebody designs something in Germany, design something that will suit me in Transkei, it might not fit. But if it's designed with my knowledge in Transkei, it will fit because it's done for that thing. And in fact, I was thinking that we always like to mimic somebody. When you see somebody very good, you want to mimic that person, but not knowing the actual conditions. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Not actually understanding the condition that that person is, but you want to mimic, and whatever you try to mimic, it fails. Because you are not doing it according to the specifications of that person, which is not going to tell you. And as a result, it fails. You might design something that is going to make my skin lighter, only to find that it's designed by somebody who's in Germany, where everybody is white. But he designed somebody that is going to make my skin lighter. Yet he doesn't know the ultraviolet light in Eastern Cape, how it is. But if it's designed in Eastern Cape, it's going to fit me better because it's done for me there. I'm trying to say that what you are doing is very good and keep on doing. It's really interesting for me, especially listening to you and the innovation which are for the country, to better the country. But the thing that we're going to try and do together is how do we keep those brilliant people? How do we make them work for our communities? How do we make them remain in South Africa and produce for South Africa and not be driven by their selfish economic reason, but be driven by helping the community? I think that's the challenge. I should have invited you to school. There's one of somebody invited me that was getting he got a PhD. And he's actually working for you. You might know. I'm sure you've got a very good staff. He's a young Mr. Dali. He got a PhD. He had a graduation ceremony on the 4th. They said to me, can you get us somebody to go to the guest speaker? I should have asked you to go to the guest speaker. He's in the defense force. And it was so interesting because he's coming from rural areas. And he told us that he got his PhD on. It was something that was very confusing for me, but something that had an impact in rural areas. I don't know what it is, but it was just an interesting thing. And I'm encouraging you to produce more PhDs, because the person that I asked didn't really understand, because we had to ask a judge to be a guest speaker, should have asked you to go and be a guest speaker. Those are just the comments that I wanted to make. You don't have to respond to what I said, but I'm saying it because I'm interested in your organization continuing them doing the work that is doing, and do it the way that you are doing it. But make us understand so that we can support you and make sure that you don't fall off and you transform the country as you are trying to transform the country. Remember that's the presentation. And have you got any questions or comments on what has been said, which is very good, which I'm very interested in it. Emily, it's moving it that horizontally, not vertically. She's satisfied. I see you with that, Emma, darling.
Senior Chair, and well done, CEO and your team. And I see you work as a team, you are not working alone. Well, we should even have proceeded to present before you arrived, because I see it's a teamwork which is very good.
were lying to us, but we are thrilled and we would want you to keep it up. But we're not here doing things. So please keep on keeping on and do this good work. We were supposed to go to CSIR and visit your place, but unfortunately we couldn't go, but we're really looking forward to the day that we're going to be able to go there and see what you're doing. Because and one thing that is coming up, you know, there's something that we always forget. I think maybe it goes to you and you know, leadership. I don't think I would regard myself as a leader if I'm asked to lead and I continue leading as Honorable Ngcobo was doing. I don't come up with something new. I'm sorry, Honorable Ngcobo was the former chairperson of this committee. If I don't come up with something new, meaning that I'm a lateral thinker, I might as well forget that I'm a leader, because I just continued with what he did. And there's nothing new or nothing bad, because if you do something bad, it makes you a different leader to the other. Not really a different leader, but you must come up with something else. And the way, I'm mentioning Anneli because she tends to be the next leader of the day. So when she goes in there, she must bring new innovations when she goes in there. So I'm saying, when you look at you, there are so many innovations that you have that are not informed by something that you saw somewhere, but something that you saw is a challenge in South Africa and you want to help the community to do it better than they were doing. It leaves, then the challenge is on us to take up whatever new thing that they are developing to assist you and make sure that we level the ground, that you can do it properly. We are politicians. We just running the country, but you are the brains behind the country, and we don't think that you're going to be doing it only for the country, even for Africa, for the world for that matter. That's why we'll be interested that you don't get stolen. You remain here, and if there are certain things that are making you not happy, tell us so that we can try and make you happy. But we can't fulfill everything. But if we can try and keep you here, or if we don't try and keep you here, we don't allow your brain to work against the community. Because even those who are doing certain things, they are brilliant. It's only that they are brilliant against the community. I'm sure you understand what I'm trying to say. Those who bomb ATMs, they are brilliant. They think that if I use hydrogen, if I use lithium to do this, and it will break, and I'll get the money. Then CSIR comes in and says, if we paint the money, when somebody bombs it, then he paints the money, they won't be able to buy with it. But they'll come with another strategy. I remember it written, they robbed the bank, and the money was put in according to the number. So they quickly said, no, that those millions that have been taken, let's just look at the number. You know what the clever that is? They just sold money to everybody. Somebody sells you 100 rands for 10 rands. I'm selling it. And the reason why they were doing that, they were doing it so that it gets so disseminated that nobody would be caught to say, you are the one who took the money. They just sell it to everybody. Then nobody could be caught and say, you are the one who robbed the bank. Because everybody had those numbers. So that's lateral thinking. That's being brilliant. But using your brilliant brain to against the community. So continued good work, Dr. Spitzer. It was a short period, but we want to see more. And we want to go to your place and see what's going on. Don't worry about being late. We've already forgiven you for that one. And by the way, what an innovation as to if we want to be secured in Parliament, how do we do it such that it doesn't delay you getting into Parliament? We want to be secured, but we want to balance it without delaying the person who's coming through to Parliament. You'll devise something, we know you can do it.
Much, much appreciated. And we do indeed look forward to your visit. And we shall plan accordingly so that when you do come, it is indeed a constructive visit, and that gives you good insight into the things that we do, and that also enables you to perhaps make suggestions on things that you are not doing that we could be doing. Thank you very much.
No, we've got our Guinness Hall here. She's going to work very hard and make sure that she lies between us and you. So thank you very much, members. Thank you very much. We had lunch for today, so we can leave early and go and rest. Thank you very much, SR. You can go and look for Mutali. You'll find him there. He's got a PhD from you.
She did receive it, but I think the side, Parliament kicked out maybe the side, but I don't know. So, what you can also do is, for the street, I've got it on a sticker on one of my laptops, it's here for me.
Can I do that?
That would be like, not now.
That you're welcome. And then, especially for the people who present it, can I just get the details, the email address? I tried to scroll, but I know I don't have everything.
Want to click on here?
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's have it. I'll put that on the screen.
So can I ask, is it possible to grab your card? Is it possible that I can have a bag?
Okay.